Good evening, everyone. I am Dick Chafing, sitting astride the show like a god, like a boss. I'm a little concerned about the duck, especially if Alvin sees it, though. If Moof gets his way, we'll be ordering some hoisin sauce for immediate delivery. Joining me tonight, we have Rudolf Hucker, the three-legged wooden horse of news, sneaking things into my script that should be obvious, but somehow I missed.
We have Harry Balsack, Hutton's very own Achilles heel.
And there's Wilma, who keeps us all lashed to the mast.
And we've got Norma, the voice that sunk a thousand ships.
Not sure I like that one. But if we're insulting everyone, Lou's not here. I think he's hiding in a cave or something. I don't know exactly what he's doing, but I do know there's a danger of him putting his eye out.
I've got no idea what's going on here, but let's sail forth into the headlines and hope that this show doesn't go on for years. Right. Where's the bong button? Here we go.
Licensed legs and landing soon.
Have the biscuits gone stale? All the latest from Dunker's Rest.
Dollar Depot dropped by WNL distraction. Hutton says, dull.
Hogtied Butt says, what the heck?
We're going to town in Meredith City where the grass is green and the jokes are witty.
It's all about PvP at ReadQuat.
And I'm going to tell us all about the pirate attack in Hill Passay, since I don't have hold of Lou's bits this week.
First tonight, we have our first story. There's been a new buzz about the galaxy, and no, we don't mean the murder hornets of old Earth. We mean the latest announcement by the Pilots Federation that after years of work, it looks like licensed access to the atmospheric planets is on the horizon. They've been researching how to safely allow commanders to move from the rocky and icy worlds that they've been so used to, from the Coriolis and Orbis and outposts where their kind hang out, and begin to reintegrate with the majority of the galactic population planet side. Yes, we've earned our wings, and sometime soon we'll be getting our legs and hopefully feet. With atmospheres, alien microbes, poisonous gases and other hazards, difficult terrain and the need to be actually able to move around rather than bounce like a Pillsbury Doughboy, the first challenge was to design a spacesuit that didn't catch you in the diddly-doodahs when crouching. The original space legs were invented the year before the Cobra Mark III was brought to the masses, and the story of Commander Jameson hit the airwaves. The story of Jetman and his jetpack on planet surfaces, bravely trying to reassemble his broken rocket, clad in nothing but an inflexible spacesuit. In the intervening years, access to atmospheric bodies has been the sole province of government agencies, wary of spreading bacterial and microbial destruction on local flora and fauna, as well as the genuine possibility that pilots might end up as lawn darts all over the place and risk the safety of both indigenous and colonial populations through artistic landings. But with a little bit of diligent hard work and a lot of effort, they've confirmed that members of the Pilots Federation can bring their elite feet, their sky thighs, their space legs, and their perambulation to a planet near you early in 3307. Oh, and yes, they've come up with a jetpack that doesn't barbecue your bum every time it fires, or project you like Bubba Fett into a Jabba sales barge. What the planet-dwelling population think about a bunch of space jockeys arriving on their pristine paradise remains to be seen, but the initial video feeds have shown heavily armed commanders with support ships approaching unsuspecting planets with dubious intentions etched on their space visors. We're excited, as it may mean that there are more places that are yet to hear about the mug, and Alvin might actually get outdoors for a change, which will certainly save me from picking up those little parcels. Watch this space for more news about stuff that's not in space.
Over in WNL, at Dunker's Rest, the campaign to save the biscuit production facilities from the evil Sinbad the Bad appears to be a little less fresh than it seemed a week ago. With Sinbad the Bad bribing all and sundry to bring exploration data to Dunker's Rest, then flogging it all to Universal Cartographics, along with handing over a brown envelope stuffed with unmarked bills, moving the influence in the right direction is proving to be less of a ginger snap and more of auntie's baked goods that will break your teeth than was expected. With the biscuiteers unable to take advantage of legitimate means such as trade, or bounty hunting, or data drops, they've resorted to taking any missions they can from their local agent, right under the rather pointy nose of Sinbad the Bad. His rather sordid media campaign appears to have stopped this week, with his propagandists taking the week off. When it comes to activity, however, Sinbad has been up to his old tricks, and using every trick in the book to keep the 38 at bay. The biscuiteers aren't daunted by the scale of this project, though, and are determined to bring Sinbad the Bad to a bad end in WNL, just one nibble at a time.
More news from Colonia, this time courtesy of King Hanky. It appears that whilst we've been stalking the biscuit barrel, waiting to get our hands on the ginger nuts, someone else has had their eye on a depot at Dola. As is normal for Colonia, Hutton have been in a cycle of election, outbreak, probably from kissing all those grotty, snotty babies, and election again. And unfortunately, we got election burnout and forgot to actually campaign in the last one, meaning that Dola Depot and Tyr changed hands. King Hanky has switched his attention back to Tyr, and wiping the tear from his eye, giving us a little frustrated and Simpson-esque dole, has put a number of his clones into action to rescue the Dola from the doldrums. Any pilots in the vicinity of Colonia, if a mission takes you past our front door at Dola, if you could bag a mission or two on your way past, we'd be ever so grateful. More from Hanky's colon later in the Hot Pit Rundown.
We have received an official, unofficial explanation for the recent absence of Buck Naked's spokesperson for Lacon Spaceways. From our airwaves, and the redness of his face upon his sudden return last week, it appears that Buck may have been subject to a case of mistaken identity, as one night, whilst resting in his Type 7, aptly named the Bedhead Redemption, and wearing his standard full cowboy outfit. Well, you like to get undressed at night, don't you? Buck likes a change from his normal attire as well. He awoke to find two figures at his bedside, holding their weapons in their hands, saying, "Clothes off, it's time for us to use the broom." Buck's immediate and witty retort was, "Bugger off, it's too early," as he'd initially mistaken them for his usual wake-up call. It soon dawned upon him that these were not his regular Friday assistants, as they were not carrying the jar of necessary unguents, nor a cure for a sake hangover. But never one to turn down a new experience, Buck agreed to the procedure. When the two gentlemen stepped into the light, revealing that they weren't Buck's usual nocturnal visitors, and presenting their advance fee for their intimate sweeping, Buck realized that the searchers should have looked at the ship next door, the Red Bed Detention. Of course, the hired hands, expecting token resistance as part of their roleplay, promptly tasered Buck before showing some true grit in hogtying him and breaking out their best tickling sticks. He offered them a fistful of dollars to untie him, which they refused, but for a few dollars more, they let him keep his boots on. At which point, from a location that, as of yet, on a naked Buck, the mind boggles as to where it was, he managed to lay his manacled hands on a rather beefing-looking beam laser, and offered, "Any man that doesn't want to cooperate will make him wish he hadn't been born." before suggesting that they looked at his ID, made in real leather and embossed with the words "Badass Mother Trucker," their eyes opened wide as they realized their error. "That's the problem with this business," said Buck. "All you meet are cowboys and aliens. They are, as of yet, unforgiven." The sight of a buck naked, holding his big beam laser in one hand and walking them into the airlock is something that's sure to give them nightmares. There's no word yet as to whether the members of Sinbad the Bad that had actually hired them for services managed to get his evening of sordid pleasures with that broom. But our imaginations are running riot as to what a 5,000 credit tickling session actually involves.
You get so used to that taking a wee bit longer on the puzzles, don't you? Vertente super rotam, as they say over in Shinrata Desra, or a turn of the wheel, as Vantian turns over in his wonderful Latin-speaking grave, as the Dark Wheel supporters gain a little momentum. They were thrown into a spin by the knowledge that actually put the Dark Wheel on top over at Founder's World was one step too many, but undaunted they realized that the bureaucrats that run the public face of the supposedly secret organization have an outpost over in LHS 926. Yes, Meredith City, where, as the badly translated cover song state, the grass is green and the joke's quite witty. It is the location of their latest effort to recapture that spirit of adventure that inspired so many keyboard warriors back in the day behind the console of an old iron arse Cobra Mark III. Naming themselves Rabid Hamster Attack Force, we're not sure why that particular name, as hamsters appear to be particularly short-lived. But aside from that one incident where Harry got one stuck in his flight suit that time, they aren't particularly dangerous. Their plan to take over the galaxy one station at a time! And of course, definitely not anything that belongs to anyone else from any other pilot federation. It's just no one else is affected. Their target? Some say that it's Saul. Others that it's not the destination, but the attention that it garners to the process that's important. Meme-meister general for the hamsters, the ever-attentive Alec Turner of the Bucky Ballers, has been in overdrive this week, churning out pictorial and viral media for them and a number of very popular player groups, have expressed an interest in being part of the Dark Wheel Appreciation and Reenactment Society, complete with muskets, just in case there's something behind it and they really don't want to miss out. We wish them well. And if they actually do end up anywhere near Saul, Alvin asks politely that they leave his playground well alone, or he'll bark at them. Or quack, supposedly.
Reed Quat has seen a battle on an epic scale, and Hutton was there to watch. We drew up our deck chairs and popped the corn as we settled down to see how PvP in Reed Quat turned out. PvP in this case is pirate versus pirate, as Code engaged in a war with Spear in this ancient and long troubled system. Considering Spear are involved, or is that S-P-E-A-R? I don't know, it might be an acronym. We shouldn't be surprised by the amount of saber rattling, and they and Code have supplied enough salt to raise the blood pressure of everyone in the galaxy to dangerous levels. Anarchy is the lifeblood of Reed Quat, and spilling blood is the lifestyle. The G word has been bandied about frequently. No, not Girdler. So much that this might have been termed GVG. Disbelief of the picture or it didn't happen kind has dominated this conflict, which has been to warfare what descriptions of outing to ancient castles are to common sense. Little has been heard of the truly innocent party in this strife, the harmless Reediquatian mouse, which is much prized for its delicate meat and extremely soft fur, used to make the much treasured mouse mat coats. In this motherfunker of all disputes, the two factions started with handbags at dawn, moved quickly to who had the biggest brother, and what would happen when he turned up, and inevitably escalated to the ultimate in warfare, cries, "Yes, I know you are, but what am I?" We wish them luck, but don't come crying to us if someone gets hurt.
It's been a busy week over in Hutton Space this week, and it's just my luck that Lou's left me holding the can and having to work out what it all means. First things first, thank you Commander Kanish Taylor, who has returned to Hutton Space from a year and a half of exploration mission. Your big dump means no one else has to visit our stations for a few weeks. The Banter Bus Depot over at Hill Path High had a minor pirate problem in the last 24 hours, but Kinrain and his Banter Bus customers appear to have scared them off in double quick time. Thanks to all the commanders that went over to Barnard Star and braved the dockers to help bring us out of civil unrest and back into boom. We've had a public holiday over in LP53281, where they're celebrating local hero Svetlana Zavitskaya, the first member of a multi-gender space station crew and pioneering Soviet cosmonaut. They've broken out the vodka and a special borscht recipe and are saying "Za nashish milish dam." There's a little outbreak in Wolf 25, so if you can bring a few bottles of hand sanitizer and some face masks, that would be great. Other than that, over in Hanky's colon, he's asking that we help the Colonia Council over in Tyr whilst he comes up with a plan to extricate the blockage before sticking a huge election in there to get our dollar back. That's all from Hutton Space this evening.